Well, I've been joined in studio by journalist Sally Hayden. Last month, there was a criticism of four Fine Gael MEPs who voted against a resolution in the European Parliament to step up search and rescue missions that would save asylum seekers making perilous crossings in the Mediterranean. At present, the EU is funding the Libyan Coast Guard to intercept migrants before they reach European waters. Well, Sally Hayden is a journalist focused on migration, human rights and the humanitarian crisis, who is in daily contact with some asylum seekers currently being detained in Libya. And she believes and says that the European Union is actively supporting the return of refugees to certain danger and leaving them at the mercy of militia and human traffickers. Thanks so much for coming in this morning, Sally. You've been writing such great stuff on this subject. Will you put last month's vote into context for us, please? The resolution was lost by only two votes, I think. What would it have meant if it had passed?
So the resolution was non-binding, so practically speaking, it might not have meant that much, but it would have led to increased pressure being put on analysing what is happening in the Mediterranean. And that's both regarding search and rescue and the lack of search and rescue, and also what the EU is doing in terms of its policy of supporting the Libyan Coast Guard to return people to Libya.
And that's why at the moment the EU is funding the Libyan Coast Guard to return migrants. But you've heard about the conditions firsthand, haven't you, Sally, through your contacts with asylum seekers? What can you tell us about how migrants are treated once they arrive in Libya?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth saying that the EU, to me anyway, they claim that they're not funding the Coast Guard specifically, but they are supporting them with training, equipment and, you know, technology. So it's kind of like a bit of a workaround. What it means is just horror. Like, people are, tens of thousands of people now have been returned, men, women and children. They're locked up indefinitely in detention centres, sometimes for years. Things happen there like starvation, torture, sexual violence, people being sold back to traffickers, murder in some cases. And yeah, the conditions are really like the worst you can imagine.
Now, Mairead McGuinness, who's of course Vice President of the European Parliament, she said the reason the Fine Gael MEPs voted against the resolution because they were worried it would have required Frontex, which is the European Border and Coast Guard Agency, to share information with all ships in the region, including traffickers. What would your response, Sally, to those concerns be?
I mean, I think that there has been a lot of evidence published that this kind of so-called Libyan Coast Guard were actually previously, some of them, traffickers or smugglers and have been involved in colluding with smugglers and traffickers. So, you know, some of them definitely may be going by a different name now, but the EU is already working with them. And so it's not really a kind of valid explanation.
Fair enough. And you also believe, Simon, the EU is supporting the Coast Guard with the aim of circumventing the international principle of non-refoulement. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah, so if there were EU vessels in the Mediterranean, which there now aren't, they would not be allowed to return people to Libya because it is a country at war, a country where people are persecuted and where they face danger, and international law prohibits that. But they get around that by supporting the Coast Guard to bring them back. And if it's you bringing them back to your national country, you know, that's legally allowed.
OK, Médecins Sans Frontières, I think they've called for the evacuation of all migrants in detention camps to safe locations. Is that a possibility? Could that happen? Is that practical?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a misunderstanding that people want to take illegal routes, and actually there are legal evacuation programs run by the UN. But the problem is that European countries and other countries as well aren't stepping up to offer enough spaces. And actually, there are only a few thousand people currently in detention centres, and they want their asylum claims assessed. Like, they're not, you know, they're not trying to avoid that. And if more countries were offering places, then they could go through that legal process.
And of course, with that vote, Sally, in the European Parliament having been rejected, attention now has probably moved to what should be done. I mean, what do you think might happen now? Is that impossible to know, Sally? Or what do you think?
I mean, I think that this has very much been a situation of out of sight, out of mind. And I've really known reporting on this, like, these voices are being shut down and we're ignoring what's happening as a direct result of European policy. And like this week, I was speaking to a woman whose 7-year-old son and husband both died because of medical neglect in a detention centre. And she begged for help for them for days. And the fact that Europeans aren't aware of that and that happening as a result of our policy, you know, it's shocking, but I don't think anything necessarily is going to happen.
Because through your work, I mean, and your contacts in Libya, I mean, you've been witness to a lot of people suffering and stories, a lot of migrants and asylum seekers' stories.
Yeah, I'm contacted all the time and have been covering this. And, you know, as a journalist, it's not your job to advise policy, but I was very quickly aware that people just didn't know that this is happening. And the thing with the European Parliament resolution, it's not that Europe is just not rescuing, it's that they are actively involved in this policy of returns. And so that's causing direct harm, you know, rather than just not doing something, it's actually doing something that's negative. So
it's causing harm. How do you think, Sally, you know, we could dissuade people from paying traffickers who take them on such perilous journeys? And do you think there are any routes people fleeing war and persecution can take?
Like, as I said, they want legal routes. They want resettlement or their claims to be assessed or ways to get to safety. And those aren't an option as long as there aren't resettlement spaces being offered. And the UN is calling for more resettlement spaces, but countries in Europe or elsewhere just aren't stepping up.
And I suppose a lot of people, Sally, who have been picked up, I don't think they knew they'd end up in Libya. Is there more awareness of this now that that's where they might end up?
Yeah, I mean, people who go to Libya, most of the ones that I'm in touch with, they've been there for years already. So they entered Libya before this deal was done with the Libyan Coast Guard. And they come from countries with wars or dictatorships like Eritrea, Somalia, Darfur and Sudan. But they say they've never managed to reach a safe place because all along the routes they're exploited and you know, persecuted or discriminated against. So they wouldn't necessarily do something differently, but yeah, they're really, really desperate for help.
Well, look, Sally Hayden, keep up your great journalistic work. Thank you very much for coming in this morning. And now it's straight over to Brian Jennings in our newsroom.